Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear argument for petition of Santa Rosa Healthcare versus Garcia.
May it please the court, Ms. Kathy Sheehan and Mr. Derek Gibson will present argument for petitioner. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Sheehan will argue the first 15 minutes and Mr. Gibson will present rebuttal.
May it please the court, I'm Kathy Sheehan and along with Jerry Gibson, we are here representing Santa Rosa Healthcare Corporation. We believe this case is one of first impression before this court and also perhaps before any court in the United States. The issue is whether a healthcare provider owes a direct duty to a third-party non-patient to tell that non-patient that a patient might be HIV positive. Ms. Garcia pled in the trial court and has argued at every level of this appeal that we owe the duty to directly inform her that her fiancé and later her spouse might be HIV positive. We believe the inquiry into this issue begins and ends in the Health and Safety Code and the confidentiality provisions provided therein. I have provided the court with excerpts from the Health and Safety Code, and there are also some enlarged exhibits here with the pertinent provisions. The legislature has taken the responsibility to protect the public health when it comes to communicable diseases, and particularly HIV. They made a policy decision that information regarding a patient's HIV status is confidential and cannot be disclosed except for in limited circumstances. And the first provision that's important is Section 81.101, which defines a test result. And the legislature has defined a test result quite broadly in a manner that one might not suspect a test result would be defined as. And they defined it as any statement that indicates that an identifiable individual has or has not been tested for AIDS or HIV infection, but they also included in the definition that a test result means a statement or assertion that an individual is positive, negative, or at risk for HIV or a certain level of antigen or antibody for the AIDS virus. The information that Ms. Garcia says that Santa Rosa should have provided for her falls squarely within this definition. She said in her petition that we should have told her that Mr. Valderas might be HIV positive, that he was at risk for HIV. Second important provision. Section 81.103, that's the confidentiality provision. And in that provision, the statute states that a test result is confidential. As just discussed, the test result means a statement that someone is at risk. And they said that no one may disclose that information except as provided by the statute. There are some exceptions, and one of the exceptions is that you may disclose this information to a spouse, but they limited what they meant by test result in this regard and stated that you could only release this information once there has been a test result that the individual is positive for AIDS or HIV. The evidence in this case is that Santa Rosa never tested Mr. Valderas. We never knew that he was HIV positive or had AIDS until after he was diagnosed by his family physician, and for Mr. Valderas, it's not clear that he or his mother informed us that he was actually HIV positive. The bottom line is the legislature has taken this responsibility on to deal with the issue of confidentiality and when information regarding a patient's HIV status should be released. And they didn't just stop at the confidentiality provisions in determining when it should be disclosed. They enacted in Section 81.051 a partner notification provision, all premised on first, there has to be a finding that a patient is HIV positive. They even went one step further to protect the public. And they enacted subchapter G of the Health and Safety Code, which involves situations where an individual who is known to be HIV positive and who is a threat to the public safety, that there are procedures that district attorneys and public health officials can take to actually have a patient committed so that they will be under care and no longer be a threat to the public at large. So when in enacting this legislature, they didn't just come out with a statement that certain information is confidential. They looked at all of the issues, the right to privacy, obviously with the confidentiality, and the need for protecting the public at large. And that's what they did with these provisions. And that's why this case is controlled by the legislature's statutes and the Health and Safety Code. Santa Rosa was precluded by these statutes from releasing any information regarding Mr. Valderas being at risk for HIV. And that's the bottom line, I think, in this case, that it would begin and end with the statutory provisions. But even if the court should find, and as the plaintiff argues, that this was really not a test result, and I think when they do that, they've ignored the full context of the definition given to a test result in by the legislature. Even if we look at the common law.
Ms. Sheehan, when the legislature amended the statute in 1989, did it drop the phrase that was earlier in the statute that you could not pursue a cause of action based on a failure to disclose?
They dropped a part of the exception in Part 7, which stated this does not create a duty to tell the spouse, and that you could not sue for failure to tell the spouse, but it was specifically related to that subpart 7 and after the positive test result.
Is that amendment of any significance to your argument that the statute controls whether a cause of action exists in this case?
No, Your Honor, it does not. I think that we need to keep the context of the facts very clear in our mind. That number one, Mr. Valderas was a hemophiliac who was seen at the hemophilia clinic in the late 70s and early 80s. He was last seen at the center in 1981. The time period in which Ms. Garcia says we should have informed her was in 88 and 89, 7 years since he had been seen at the clinic.
Is there anything direct that shows why Santa Rosa continued to send notices for him to come back if they had discontinued treatment in 1982?
Yes, there is, Your Honor. There is expert affidavits stating that as of the summer of 1986, it was the standard of care in the industry for hemophilia to attempt notification to the patient himself to let him know that he may have been exposed to tainted products and that he should be tested and bring, and the notices also included a statement that you should bring a spouse or steady girlfriend with you for testing.
So under those guidelines, then even though this particular person never went back, they had the duty to give them the current treatment.
Yes, and we admitted in the trial court that we had a duty to him to inform him of that.
And there's a dispute about that, is that right?
The dispute is in the trial court or in the Court of Appeals was that they felt that there was a fact issue of whether or not we had fulfilled that duty. And the expert testimony provided that was uncontroverted was that the standard of care was to attempt notification, that since this was a look-back program of a former patient, that there was no duty to hire a private detective, search out and find these individuals, but the duty was to attempt notification. And in fact, Mr. Valderas himself admitted in his deposition testimony that the address that we had sent those notifications to was his correct mailing address. Now, he stated in his deposition he didn't receive them, but we think that's beside the point because the duty was to attempt notification to a former patient that we did not have an ongoing relationship with.
But you only notified him that he should be tested.
He should be tested.
You didn't notify him that he might not be a good idea to have sexual relations with anybody else. If you have a duty to someone who might have seizures, to tell them not to drive, do you have a duty to the public to tell someone who might have AIDS not to have sex?
No. We think our position is that until there has been a diagnosis that you actually have AIDS, that you are actually HIV positive, that you have no duty. And the basis of that is the foreseeability. That when this court looks at creating a new duty, the thing you look at first usually is whether there's a foreseeable harm, whether there's a substantial risk of injury to an individual. And it is our position that until and up until the point that a health care provider knows that a patient has a communicable disease, that they are actually HIV positive, that there is not a legally foreseeable risk of injury, not up until that very point in time. And we must keep in mind that they're not saying that this is a derivative cause of action in which Ms. Garcia could have a claim based on a duty to inform Mr. Valderas himself that he was at risk. She's saying that we should have sought her out and told her individually, and that's where the statute comes into play, and the fact that with the bottom line is we did not know that he was HIV positive. And until a health care provider has that information, we think it is an overly broad, onerous burden to ever place on a health care provider. But look at the knowledge, such as in the El Chico case and the Ode of Engineering, the court looked at the knowledge that the defendant had to determine whether there's a foreseeable risk of harm. And in both of those situations, those defendants knew of the obvious intoxicated state of an individual. In this situation, the only allegation has been made that we knew that he might possibly have HIV. That is not sufficient for a legally foreseeable risk of harm. Santa Rosa did not create this harm because the time in which Mr. Balderas, as sad as it is, was exposed to this deadly disease was before there was any testing. There can be no actionable misconduct against or placed on Santa Rosa for the fact that Mr. Balderas was exposed to HIV through tainted blood products. One of the primary concerns when you read the literature regarding HIV and the spread of the virus is that it is very important for individuals to be tested and counseled. We believe that if there was any sort of a duty imposed upon a healthcare provider to inform third parties that someone might be at risk or might possibly be HIV positive, that this would act as a deterrent for individuals to seek treatment, to be honest with their healthcare providers that they may be involved in risky activities such as unprotected sex or IV drug use, and that this would certainly violate their privacy rights when all we know is they might possibly be HIV positive.
Is it your position, Ms. Sheehan, that the statute controls and that we need to look at the question of whether a duty exists at common law?
Yes, the statute controls and we do not need to. You know, I'm making the alternative argument just in that in case. The bottom line is we did not know he had HIV, and without that knowledge there can be no foreseeable risk of harm.
Does Ms. Garcia have AIDS?
The record indicates as the last time she was tested, no, and she was tested twice.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. George Powell will present argument for the respondent.
I think one of the things that they concede regarding the definition of test results is that there has to be a statement of some sort regarding a specific individual. I think they also concede in this case that there was no statement whatsoever from any source regarding Adalberto Valdez, who's the individual who was infected with AIDS and who was married to Linda Garcia.
How do you agree that the statute controls in this case?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because there was no statement made of any sort that Adalberto or anyone involved in this case had or might possibly be infected with the HIV virus. The definition of a test result refers to specifically, one, a statement, two, that it be directed towards a specific individual, neither of which we have here. I think what we have here is what is referred to in the case decided in the opinion by the appellate court, Wadley Research Institute versus Beeson, in which they describe how the knowledge of AIDS being infected or the virus being infected into the blood supply came about, and why in that case it provided a cause of action. In 1983, they determined that the blood supply was infected by the HIV virus because of a substantial number of homosexuals who had given blood. This was late 82. In January of 83, it became common knowledge and the blood supply banks started changing their practices as to how they both accumulated, collected the blood, and the distribution of the blood. This was in January 83. It was, as the court described in the appellate opinion in our case, a situational knowledge that was common throughout the blood supply system in the United States and in Europe as well. That's how they came to know that in all probability, or there was a very good chance because of his being a hemophiliac, that Valdez was in fact infected. They also knew, according to us, that his brother had died in 1985, of AIDS because he also was a hemophiliac who got his blood from the same center. Valdez testified in his deposition that the only place he or his brothers had ever gotten blood was from Santa Rosa. Their practice would be they call Santa Rosa on the phone and say, we need blood, we need factor VIII. Santa Rosa would tell them, well, what you do is you go to a specific doctor down there in the valley. I will send the factor VIII to that doctor, and he or she will administer the blood factor. Factor VIII is a clotting factor. It's called factor VIII.
Now, let me take you back to my question. What is the purpose of this statute if it is not intended to indicate to whom information is to be released, who is to release it, and under what circumstances it is to be released? You're telling us that this statute doesn't apply in this case. I'm having a hard time understanding what the purpose of the statute is, if not to be used in this type of situation.
The purpose of the statute is that when they decided they were going to start testing for AIDS in the late 80s, there was concern with the results of these tests being used to identify certain groups who might be discriminated against because they are infected with the HIV virus. So, in particularly, the purpose of the statute was to protect those who are in the workplace from being discriminated against, losing their jobs. I think they even refer to some of the articles in their brief, that the statute came about because of lawsuits filed by what is called the Lambda Legal Defense Fund and the ACLU, representing various gay groups who are concerned that they would be identified, particularly in school groups. They would use these test results to find out who they are and kick them out of their jobs. That's why that particular statute came into effect. In 1989, it was changed because the federal government mandated change come about because the states were told that if you did not provide for partner notification, then you will receive no federal funds for the treatment of AIDS or for the identification and research into AIDS. That's why the statute was changed in 89 to provide for that. So you asked what was the purpose of it. That was the purpose of that particular statute, directly relating to testing, going out and telling people, okay, you have to take a test. Those specific people being concerned that, well, what if this test shows something? What is going to happen to me in the workplace and in other areas out in the public life? We're not talking about the public life, nor are we talking about people who have been submitted to tests. What we're talking about here is an infected blood supply, which has the very large possibility of not just infecting hemophiliacs, but infecting those who are the partners of the hemophiliacs.
So what you're saying is the statute would apply if they had attempted to notify his employer, but it doesn't apply to his fiancée. Is that your position?
Well, if they had, the statute was designed towards employers. In the case of Baldetta's, the problem is that we are not dealing with a test.
Well, that's my question. If they had wanted to notify Valderas as an employer, are you saying the statute wouldn't prohibit them from doing that because there was no test in question?
I think if they were to notify Valderas as an employer, this statute would not, well, depends on what kind of notification you're talking about.
They intend to make a statement or an assertion that Valderas is at risk because he was exposed to this blood supply. Now, are they permitted under the statute to notify his employer of that or not?
I would say no, because what we're dealing with is a situation in which you have to have identifiable third parties who are at risk of being infected. There's where we get back to what we talked about throughout this case and is being talked about in the other cases, is the Tarasoff doctrine. In my brief, I mentioned the Pennsylvania case.
Is it incumbent upon the hospital to go out and try to identify all those people who may be at risk, not only people who may be a spouse or fiancé, but maybe everyone with whom that person has had intimate relations?
I think from a practical standpoint, we have to deal with readily identifiable third parties.
And how do you define that?
Well, in this case, they had a conversation on the telephone with Linda Garcia.
Was she married to him at that time?
At that time, she was engaged. They were getting married in the near future.
So she wasn't a spouse.
She was not a spouse at that time. She was engaged.
Does that make a difference?
I would say no.
Because you argue the statute doesn't apply?
Not only that the statute doesn't apply, I would say no because she had won a sexual partner. Two, in this case, they knew they were getting married, say, in another month.
Who did do that?
Representatives of Santa Rosa, based on their conversation with Linda Garcia on the telephone.
So the record shows that when she talked to him on the phone, she said, well, I'm his fiance, we're going to be married in a month.
Yes.
Why are you calling?
Yes. Well, she was at his mother's house. Uh-huh. And as part of what they have brought up themselves as part of this continuous attempt to get hold of Valdez. Not only did they write him letters, they also called on the telephone and said, you need to come in for your appointment. On one of the occasions that they called his mother's house, Linda happened to be there at the house. She took the telephone call and had the conversation with the representative of Santa Rosa.
But does the record make clear that she identified herself as his fiancée?
Yes.
If she hadn't picked up the phone, would they overdo?
Well, it's different that she did pick up the phone.
Well, that's not my question. Had she not answered the phone, would they owe her a duty of notification?
I think that if she had not picked up the phone, they owed her a duty to at least, through Valdez, attempt to find out who she is or if he has any sexual partners. This is completely consistent with the duty that has been imposed on the public health system throughout this country for at least the past 50 years as to the containment of contagious diseases.
Okay, Mr. Palamé, yes. I said this is a duty that's imposed, and you're talking about partners and sexually active and all that. The response from Santa Rosa is, here's the statute. The statute doesn't identify if you don't tell. It identifies the person who has the information, doesn't tell. Now, it provides a specific exception that says you can tell the spouse. Now, does this statute have an exception for partners? Or does it have an exception for, well, if we know they're sexually active and someone identifies themselves to the hospital that they're one of the partners, that you can tell them? I mean, is there anything in the statute here that contains any of the language or words that you're using in this argument?
No, it does not. The statute does not. The statute refers to test results. I'll give you an example of what I think it should, what I think notification should at least at a minimum contain, is a statement that the blood supply was infected, is infected. At that time, it's not now because the screening test has been put in. But the blood supply has been infected. Those that receive blood, particularly hemophiliacs who receive factor VIII, which contains products from many different blood sources, not one person, has been infected with this virus. Those who have received this product should be very cognizant of the fact that they themselves may be infected and either refrain from sex or warn their partners as to the condition.
Is your statement covered by the definition in the statute of test results? In other words, the at-risk portion of it?
No, it's not, because one, it's not a statement. It's not a result of a statement they have received regarding an individual, and it is not a result of something directed towards any specific individual.
I guess that's where I have a problem. You keep saying for the purposes of the statute, he is not, Valdez is not readily identifiable. So, I mean, you have to say,
then
you're saying, but she is readily identifiable for common law purposes.
He is readily identifiable in the sense that he has received the blood product. There has been no statements specifically made towards him by some other source who has said Valdez individually is an at-risk person. And that's what this test result definition says. Any statement that indicates that an identifiable individual has or has not been tested for AIDS or HIV infection. Clearly, we don't have anything like that here. Antibodies to HIV or infection with any other probable causative agent of AIDS, including a statement assertion that the individual is positive, negative. Okay, we're still talking about the individual. If they send out a statement saying that all persons who have received blood in this time frame, particularly factor A, need to be checked because they may have received infected blood, that clearly is not the same as this. If they say to an individual person, a sexual partner, a spouse, that this blood supply was tainted, you need to think about that. Then you're talking about, again, not talking about an individual. What you're talking about is a statement as to the blood supply.
It seems as though you're asking us to develop a fairly detailed common law standard.
Correct.
And considering the fact that the legislature has delved in detail in this area, would it not be fairly arrogant for the court to say, well, you all have your policy considerations, you may have passed something, you didn't pass other, we are going to implement our own policy about what should be done in this area?
Well, I think the fact that they have done something detailed and left out what I'm talking about leaves an area that has not been addressed by them.
And maybe it was not addressed by them for certain policy reasons.
Well, I think the specific policy reasons is because, as I stated in response to the earlier question, that this statute was specifically designed in response to the move to have testing. And either require testing under certain circumstances. And certain groups were worried about what would happen if we have testing. If we have to have, as an example, when I got life insurance, I had to have my blood tested. And one of the things they tested for was HIV. Now, what happens if the person who is tested under these circumstances is infected? What is done with those tests? That is the kind of situation that this statute was meant to address. It is not meant to address a general knowledge of what is in the blood supply. And it is not meant to address the containment of contagious disease that, like other contagious diseases, have been and can be spread through certain types of contact.
But you're not suggesting that we develop a body of common law for the containment of contagious diseases, are you?
Well, I think that this does fall within that, yes. I very much think that. Because what we have right now is that we have AIDS has been treated completely differently in most contexts than the public health has treated contagious diseases in the past. And the main difference in the way AIDS has been treated, or HIV was treated, particularly in the late 80s, early 90s nationwide and in Texas, is in partner notification. For example, in any sort of sexually transmitted disease, they're required to notify partners of the fact that you might have an infected partner. And AIDS has been significantly different in that regard. Now it's moving away from it because there's a realization that this is the only really effective way, or one of the only effective ways, to contain the spread of a disease.
Are those requirements by law or ordinance, or are they common law requirements on the other sexually transmitted disease?
Well, statutory in most states.
The common law cases in this area are the ones set forth on page 6 of your brief, is that right?
The Marco would be a common law. Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Pennsylvania and California, but are there others?
Well, I mentioned in my brief also, well, the California would deal with the psychiatric, but also one that does deal with AIDS. But the DeMarco case, which I mentioned in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, is almost identical to this as to a common law context. There you have a nurse is pricked by a needle while providing care to a hepatitis infected person. And the hepatitis virus being very similar to the AIDS virus. And that person is pricked by a needle, becomes infected with the hepatitis virus. That person has sex with his girlfriend. The girlfriend becomes infected with hepatitis and she dies, he dies and she's infected with the hepatitis and is looking at that. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court held that there was a cause of action. She could have the cause of action against the hospital for not having warned her, or not having warned him, and then they say not even having warned her that she should not have sex with this guy who was infected with the hepatitis virus. So that is a common law finding that is very similar to this. The difference being you have a needle prick as opposed to IV and hemophilia. But that is a common law finding that's very similar, same as the Tarasoff case. The Good, that would be one, as well as the Kerrville case. Those would be common law findings of warning. Three of them are in the public health. A couple of them are the ones in psychiatric, the Quaaludes. Psychiatric cases where they know this guy's going to go out and kill his wife or identify the party. But as far as the containment of diseases, now we point the court to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court case.
If I understand your argument, you're saying Santa Rosa blood the hemophiliacs.
Yes.
Santa Rosa comes to the realization that that all their patients that are hemophiliacs are at risk for HIV. As a result, Santa Rosa had an obligation to find out all of the spouses, partners, anybody who's, well, we'll limit it to yours, partners of sexually active hemophiliacs, and notify them directly that they are at risk of HIV.
Or that the blood supply was infected.
Yes, that means you're at risk.
Yeah.
The definition in Section 81101 says test result means any statement or assertion that an individual is at risk for the HIV antibody.
They're talking about Baldavis in that context.
That's what they're talking about. Why isn't the Santa Rosa's statement to Ms. Garcia calling her, saying you are at risk because the blood supply is at risk, not a specific statement that Valderas is at risk, because the only way Garcia would be at risk is because of a relationship to the hemophiliac who was receiving blood from Santa Rosa? Why isn't that a test result that's made confidential under this statute?
Because the information that they have as to because the information that they have as to why Baldettis is at risk is not as a result of any test result. And that's what their knowledge does not come from testing of Baldettis. As it says here, that there has to be some statement given to them from some source that would result from either testing of some sort that he is a person at risk. What we don't have is that. What we have is something that very narrowly admitted is different than that. And that's why my position is that this is not something that is covered by their definition of test result.
Any other questions? Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Jerry Gibson for Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa attempted to follow the law in regard to Mr. Baldares, and they got sued for doing exactly that. The record is complete to show that when Santa Rosa realized that their patients, their hemophilia patients, were at risk, that they undertook to notify those patients, that they undertook on numerous occasions to notify Mr. Baldares. And Mr. Baldares acknowledges that he received phone calls, that he says he didn't see the letters, but he acknowledges, yes, they would call. And I did not go because I was busy and I felt fine. The fact of the matter is that had Mr. Baldares come to Santa Rosa, he would have been tested. Cesari would have tested positive. He would have been counseled. But the facts are that is not what happened. The situation in this case is that we're being sued because when a phone call was made to the home, Ms. Garcia, who then was a fiancé, answered alone, and we are held liable for not telling her. Ms. Garcia, imagine this conversation. Ms. Garcia, oh, you're Alberto's fiancé. Well, you need to be careful about that.
because, you know, Adalberto might have AIDS because he's a hemophiliac. That would have been totally inappropriate. It would have been a violation of law. It would have exposed that person to possible criminal penalties. Not only the AIDS statute, which we discussed and the court is well familiar with, but Article 4495B, this general medical privacy statute, would forbid that. And that imposes civil and criminal penalties for disclosing confidential medical information. There is no exception for this kind of situation. Besides that, the AIDS statute, up until September of 1989, said there is no cause of action for notifying, for not notifying a spouse. Period.
If Valderis had been tested, how does subsection B come in? Must he release that agree to release that information?
No, not under subsection B. Once there is a positive test result, the health care providers have the privilege to notify a spouse.
But
so it does not. So for instance, in this case, if Adalberto had been adamant, no, don't tell my wife. Please don't tell my wife. Santa Rosa still could have done so.
But it's not mandatory.
It is not mandatory.
Can I ask you a question? The definition says a test result is a situation where can exist where a person has not even been tested.
That's exactly right.
And
we could
say that person hasn't been tested, but they may be at risk because of the blood type.
It would have been inappropriate for our nurse or our unit clerk or whoever was making the calls to say, you know, Mr. Garcia, he's not been tested for AIDS. It should be. I mean, that would have been a violation of the statute.
A 4495B or something in this statute?
Both of them.
What is
this is specific to the situation, see, and that is why we have relied on it primarily, but Article 4495B applies just as well.
But the day they got married, then you could release it.
If there was a positive test result. The statute says a test result may be released to the wife if the person tests positive for AIDS. And then and only then. And the whole, you know, this is the way physicians work. They work from a diagnosis and they work from there. Adalberto never had a diagnosis. He was never tested positive.
So the statement that someone has not been tested for AIDS has to be a negative test result or an at-risk test result if there's such a definition.
It actually says that a statement or assertion that the person is positive, negative, at risk, or has not been tested for AIDS, you know, including a statement or assertion that he's at risk. Be that as it may.
Those are test results, but none of those can be positive unless you've actually been in.
You're not supposed to. The answer to your question is, in order to notify a spouse, the test result has to be positive. Otherwise, you're in violation of the statute. Thank you very much.
I have a question, but I'll think about it and answer it myself. Any other questions? That concludes the argument in the second clause. The court will now take another brief recess.
All right.